Gather, O you who are beloved of God, and hear a story about the Messiah. It is not a well-known story. It is one of the stories only Brother Luke was wise enough to include in the good news. Hear a story that begins when the Son of God had no name. The child was crying again, waking his mother Mary from the dreamless oblivion of exhausted sleep. The child was 7 days old and crying for milk and would only stop if Mary took him in her arms to nurse. At the sharp start of the newly familiar ache at her breast, Mary's mind began to wander back to the angel, to the one called Gabriel, who stands in the very presence of God and spoke words that Mary could never forget in an indescribable voice. You will bear a son, the Son of the Most High. Of his kingdom there will be no end. But the angel was not with Mary now. Mary, who was alone, able to give the child the sustenance he needed to survive, the milk he cried for most every hour of the day and night. With the child's hunger sated for the moment, Mary bounced and burped the child and laid him down to sleep away an hour or two, pondering for the hundredth time in her mind about the shepherds. That crowd of coarse and uninvited men who had streamed in from who knows where, with Mary still labor sore and beyond weary. They crowded around the child and strained with dirty hands to touch him. They were full of more talk of angels, of an army of angels, a multitude of the heavenly host who, they said, proclaimed the child to be the Messiah, a new Lord for the land of Israel. They proclaimed the Messiah who could not even hold up his head, the Savior whose only link to life was mother's milk from Mary's breast. The child was helpless as all infants are when they are 7 days old. His hold on life was as tenuous and contingent as it was for any seven-day-old, and worst of all was that just like every other seven-day-old boy in Israel, he did not even have a name. The law of Moses commanded that a boy be circumcised when he was 8 days old, and only then, only when he had been sealed under the promise of the covenant, could the boy be named. Now, to have no name at all is a dangerous thing, because a name is important. A name is your destiny. A name is your pride and your path. I admire and wonder at those who change their names, who leave behind a whole life that was given to them and embark on a different destiny of their own choosing. A name is destiny. A name is life. To be without a name is dangerous. For how can your name be destined for greatness if you have no name at all? How can your name be found in the book of life if you have no name at all? As the seventh and final nameless day of Mary's child's life ended with the setting sun, Mary made ready for the circumcision. The circumcision was, as they all were, there was blood and tears, and Mary held the wailing, inconsolable child close, 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 close. And with a mother's voice, full of pride and power, with a mother's voice, she spoke for the first time the child's name. God has saved us. That is, Jesus. She named the child Jesus, which means God has saved us. That's the story of how Jesus got his name. And only Brother Luke tells the good news quite that way. Only Brother Luke was wise enough to mention that it was Mary who named Jesus. Only Brother Luke was wise enough to recount just how helpless Jesus had been. And when Brother Luke teaches us that Christ was born as weak and vulnerable as any human child, we can know how completely inexplicable it is that he would become the man that he did. because of the things that Jesus could do. No ordinary person could do. No ordinary person could do the things he did. Brother Luke tells us of the amazing deeds of Jesus beginning in a city called Capernaum by the sea. There in Capernaum, after synagogue one Sabbath, he was brought to the home of a woman who had a fever like a wildfire burning inside of her. But just at the mere presence of Jesus, the vile fever that had inflicted her body fled away from her like roaches skittering away from a great and sudden light. She was her old self again, as strong as if she had never been sick at all. And news of this spread quickly through Capernaum, so quickly that before the night was done, every single sick person in Capernaum had been brought before Jesus and sent away right as rain. The dying were made hale again. Withered limbs were made lithe again. And Capernaum was left a city free from illness. No one could do things like that. Not even the great prophets of old. Jesus was different. There was a light inside of Jesus like the first light of creation. And there were three men from Capernaum that saw that light clearly enough to know to follow after Jesus. They were Peter, James, and John, fishermen, one and all. Brother Luke tells the story of how these fishermen sailed across the Sea of Galilee with Jesus, and with the land out of sight and only merciless water all around, the clouds began to gather and the sea grew dark around them and a windstorm swept down on their boat. Now, Peter, James, and John were no strangers to the Sea of Galilee. They knew its moods, and they made a living on the sea and were raised by parents who had made their living on this sea. So this was no ordinary windstorm that threatened to fill up their boat with the crashing waves all around them. They were frightened that they were perishing and cried out to Jesus to save them. But just at the sound of Jesus' voice, the raging waves stopped churning and the whipping wind fell to a dead calm. And if Peter, James, and John had been afraid before, they were terrified now because the winds and the waves cannot be controlled. Fishermen know that well enough. Yet at just a word from Jesus, it was as if new and unwavering laws of nature held both air and water still as stone. No one could do things like that. Not even the great prophets of old. There was a light. There was a light inside of Jesus like the first light of creation, and reality bent back like a bow to obey him. From the stories that Brother Luke tells us, Jesus was beginning to live up to that name that he had been given, God has saved us. One day, Jesus took the three fishermen he caught in Capernaum, and they went up a tall mountain in order to pray. By the time they reached the top, they were exhausted, and it was nighttime. As Jesus was praying, the sound of his voice and the lateness of the hour and the warm ache of limbs more accustomed to rowing than to mountain climbing began to weigh on the young fishermen. They fought sleep, and in the night's darkness and the thin air, they were able to see for the first time that light inside of Jesus shining as clear as day. His face looked different somehow, and the light shined out from him and pooled in a circle around his feet, and in that circle of light stood two men who had not been there before. They were speaking with Jesus. And Brother Luke tells us that they were Moses of the burning bush and Elijah, whose return foretold God's coming reign. These two dead men, who centuries before had gone the way of all flesh, stood speaking with Jesus just as plain as day. It was as if the curtains of time and place and death were pulled back and all that was illusory had disappeared and all the fishermen could see was eternity standing behind all things. And with those curtains pulled back and the light of ages shining, we are told that the fishermen heard a voice. It was a voice from everywhere and nowhere, a voice that was close, close, close.
And it spoke with a mother's voice, full of pride and power, a mother's voice that said, "This is my son. Listen to him." Yes, Jesus was a miracle worker, like no servant of God had been before. Brother Luke testifies as much in telling the story of Jesus healing all of Capernaum, and Jesus calming the storm, and Jesus shining with glory on the mountaintop. Jesus is full of divine power. Jesus is the Son of God. On that point, many gospelers agree. Brother John, Brother Matthew, Brother Mark, they all proclaim Jesus' power. But only Brother Luke tells the good news in the way that he does. Because in a world where only men's voices were valued, Brother Luke was wise enough to tell women's stories, not as if men's eyes saw all there was to see. In a world that valued only the perspective of adults, Brother Luke told the story of when the Son of God was helpless, how the Savior of humanity needed saving, how the Son of God was held up by strong arms before he was strong enough even to bear the weight of a name. Luke gives us a great gift in telling the story of the Savior in this way, because we can see that Jesus is not simply the Son of God, and Jesus is not simply a child of humanity. Jesus is something new and intermingled. Jesus Christ is the firstborn of a new creation. He is the forerunner for each of us when we walk into eternity. For Jesus was a human being through and through, flesh, blood, and bone. But Jesus, too, was the pure light of the divine which suffuses all the universe. Jesus was a man born of a certain time and place who grew and lived and died. But Jesus, too, is a walker of the ley lines of infinity, the one for whom here and now is everywhere and always. And in the intermingling of humanness and Godness, salvation came to all humanity. Humanity is saved because God has made human nature a part of God's own being. Because Jesus Christ is a human being, what it means to be human is a part of what it means to be God. To be human is a part of what it means to be God. That is what it means to be saved. To be saved means that we dwell within God's own being, and God's own being dwells within us. And all of this is captured by Brother Luke, who told the story of Christ's glory on the mountaintop and Christ's helplessness as a newborn child. So thank God for the stories of women and the stories about helpless children. Thank God for Brother Luke, who told the story of how Jesus Christ got his name, which means God has saved us.